Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. That's it. Let your voice out. Let your voice out and cry out to God with a voice of triumph. God's been good to us, church. God's been mighty good to us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Worthy is the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. God bless you. You may be seated. The Lord is so good, and I'm so glad to be in His presence tonight. What a dynamic presence of God in this place. And I believe the Lord has come to help us and to do something among us tonight. Amen. I'm just waiting on the Lord here a moment. It's not that I don't know what I want to say, but I want to make sure that we're all able to hear what the Lord will say. I do feel to tell somebody tonight, do not let what you do not understand overcome what you know. Don't let what you don't understand overcome what you know. We know God's good. We know His mercy is everlasting toward them that fear Him. We know He only has good in mind for us to give us a hope and a future. Don't let what you don't understand rob you of what you know. Amen? Amen. I do want to say it's good not only to see Sister Donna here tonight, Brother Donnie. Amen. Up and about, feeling better. Thank God for it. We're glad you're all here in the house of the Lord to worship together. I do appreciate the liberty that Pastor Matt has given me in teaching this series on the gifts of the Spirit. It is evolving into something that you're going to have to forgive me. And I didn't anticipate. The reason why I say that, and I would never, by the grace of God, abuse or take advantage of liberty given to me, but I really feel burdened tonight to continue discussing the topic of hearing God's voice. And this really does tie into being used in the gifts of the Spirit, and you're going to see why as we go through and we dive into the meaning of the word hear in the Word of God. So tonight, I promise you we are heading toward talking about the gifts of the Spirit, and we will. But I can't let go. God will not let me go. We laid the foundation of love. We've got to have the love of God in our heart because we are dealing with the presence and the power of God when we deal with the gifts of the Spirit. I don't want to hurt anybody. It's not my intent ever when I'm used by God to hurt anybody. Although sometimes the Word of God does hurt. Most surgeries don't feel good, right? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. However, we talked some about hearing the Word of the Lord and how critical it is to hear the voice of God and to be able to hear His voice. And it was probably a couple weeks ago that I was going about an ordinary task. And I know it was the Lord came to me and began to talk to me about hearing the voice of God. And the Lord spoke to me and honestly, not trying to be melodramatic, but I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to slow down because I got to get a pen and paper. I don't want to forget this. So I wrote some things down about hearing the voice of the Lord and it, how that the Lord emphasized to me the criticality of hearing His voice in this hour. And we talked about hearing the voice of the Lord in our second lesson on the more excellent way. And the Lord gave us an admonition in the last few weeks to make some time, just set some time to listen to the voice of God, and I hope you did that. Excuse me for a moment. The older I get, the leakier my faucet gets. So bear with me. But I hope you made time, and I hope you're making time to hear the voice of God. But what came to me in a couple weeks ago is it was just an overwhelming burden and sense of urgency. How that we need more than ever in 2021, like never before, to hear the voice of God. So I wrote some things down. I wrote some scriptures down and just kind of tucked it away. And our son and his family were in for Christmas and had a wonderful time. And their flight was delayed, which would have made them miss their connecting flight back to California. So that Sunday, he did an online service and on Facebook for the church in San Leandro. And I'm downstairs listening to the Word of God. And he began in Psalm 23. Excuse me. I know I'm a mess, but 23 verse 1, you were all familiar with it. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he began to talk about how God is our shepherd and that there is a special relationship between the shepherd and his sheep. And Jesus said that his sheep know his voice. And my ears began to perk up because I'm like, God, this is exactly what you were dealing with me about to give to our congregation, to give to my brothers and my sisters. He said, above it all, and most importantly, he said, have you heard the voice of God in 2020? What he was talking about, obviously 2020 was not a banner year for many of us. As far as norms and living life the way we've always lived it. Some of us went through pretty hard times in 2020. Unrelated to COVID, but related to COVID, you know, some of us went through that. Some of us went through it worse than others. It was a year of uncertainty. But he said, above all the voices, above all the noise, above all the chaos, have you heard God's voice? It is paramount in our lives. It is so important that as a child of God, we hear his voice. And he said, as a child of God, we should be able to say that the Lord is our shepherd because we are a child of God. Folks, the Lord is our shepherd. And if you've ever done a study on shepherds in Middle Eastern culture, they had a very intimate relationship with their sheep in that they cared. They would literally risk their lives for their sheep. Leaving the 99 safe in the fold and going after one is not just a cute story Jesus told. It is the truth. They had their sheep fold at night that was like a corral, and they would make them pass under their staff, and they would count their sheep in their fold at night. Why? To make sure they were all safe in their care and in their concern at night, so they would not be taken by wolves. And if there were one missing, they would leave those in the fold safe, and they would go and search after the one. Why? Because the shepherd cares for the sheep. Folks, that's our God. That's our Savior. He loves us with that kind of love. There's nothing that happens in our life that God is not concerned about. Amen? And he said, my sheep know my voice. Have you heard the voice of your God this year through everything that transpired? He asked. The Lord is our shepherd, and we should be able to hear his voice in spite of everything that is going on. Again, he asked, can you, as a child of God, hear the voice of your shepherd in the midst of chaos? And I believe that is a question that the Lord would ask us tonight. Can you hear my voice? Can you hear me? It is so critical that we hear the voice of our shepherd. Fast forward another week, and I get a text from my son, and everybody heard our brother Rima Duncan, Pastor Rima Duncan. I think he did some youth work in the UPC, and he's preached conferences, and good singer, good preacher, and Nathaniel sent me a post that he had put on Instagram, And what did it say? But he that has ears to hear, you better learn the voice of God this year. Church, God is talking to us. We had better learn to hear the voice of God and know it, particularly now, this year. It is critical that we know the voice of our God. Earlier this year, he said, I was praying, and in the spirit, a random word of knowledge came to my mind, quote unquote, food shortages. Not too long afterward, I began seeing news coverage of food banks that were overrun across America. He said, I believe at that point I was witnessing what I heard in the spirit. He said, months later, I got a call. Excuse me again. I'm sorry, folks. He said, I got a call. I said, I don't remember ever making the word of food shortages public or mentioning it to someone. But he said, this individual would know, excuse me. And he said, but through discussion, the information was made clear. It wasn't a physical food shortage, but a spiritual one. He said, the Bible describes the Word of God as spiritual food. He said, we are entering a season. This is just a week or two ago. He said, we are entering a season where there will be a famine, not of the word. In other words, there's not going to be a shortage of preaching. There's not going to be a shortage of teaching. There's not going to be a shortage of the word of God, he said, but of people hearing it. He said, get to know his voice. The future depends on it. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 29. Jesus said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Please leave that up there. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is written when John was getting revelation, writing unto the seven churches. It was said seven times. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Folks, I believe that is the cry of our shepherd tonight. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen? To hear means to pay attention, to understand, and oddly enough, obedience, to obey. So it's not just listening. It's not just hearing, oh, well, I was at church and I heard a great sermon. I heard a great sermon, but did I hear what the Spirit was saying to me through that sermon? Now, if I truly heard what the Spirit said to me in that sermon, obedience is going to be tied into my hearing of the word of the Lord. So God is implying in his word by putting paying attention, understanding, and obeying. There's three steps to that, you see. I've got to pay attention to what the Spirit's saying. I've got to understand what the Spirit's saying. And I've got to obey what the Spirit's saying. And does that not go along with what the apostle wrote? Don't be hearers of the word only, but be also doers of the word of God. So hearing is in totality paying attention, understanding, and obeying what the word of the Lord says. To attend to consider what has been said. To perceive the sense of what is said. So it's deeper than just hearing what somebody's saying. I hear a lot of stuff. We all hear a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, we hear so much in this culture, sometimes I turn stuff off because I'm tired of hearing stuff. Therein lies the key. We need to be careful not to become conditioned to turn off the voice of God because we are so tired of hearing stuff, and it easily could be done. To hear something, not just to hear, but to hear something. To perceive by the ear what is announced in one's presence. I'm sitting and I'm listening to the Word of God. I might be tired, might not feel well. I might be on top of the world. Whatever the situation is, when I have the opportunity to hear the preached Word of God or the taught Word of God, or I'm sitting in Sunday school, or I'm sitting in discipleship class, am I there to understand and perceive the essence of what is being said to me by the Spirit, not just words. What's God trying to communicate to me? What, how does it apply to my life? What does God want me to do with what he's telling me? To give ear to teaching or a teacher, to comprehend, to understand. Over and over and over again in the definitions of this word here, to comprehend, to understand, to comprehend, to understand. The Lord wants us to have understanding of what he's trying to say to us. So in other words, John was writing, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear, let him perceive, let him consider, let him understand, let him obey what the Spirit is saying to the churches. It's critical in our time. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11 is the scripture that Brother Rima Duncan was referring to. He said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord." Quite interesting definition in the Hebrew in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. It means to hear, to listen, and to obey. Is it any coincidence that we have in the New Testament, where we started out in the book of Revelation, which is the ending book of our Bible, and way back in the prophet Amos, the definition of the word it here is to hear, to listen, to obey. It is a primitive root word, means to hear intelligently. Not just, okay, you gave me information. What's God trying to say to me through what you're saying? So, and this plays into being used in the gifts of the Spirit. God tells me, God gives me a word of knowledge for someone. Okay? So God, you know, what are we trying to say here? You know, give me some understanding of what we're trying to say. Someone receives a word of knowledge. It's not given to me just to, you know, give me information. It's given to me to help me. So I've got to hear what God is saying through that. I've got to understand. To hear intelligently, often with the implication of attention and obedience. Attention and obedience. So hearing the word of the Lord. God begins to talk to me. Can God get my attention? Can God get your attention? You know, if you know me very well, you know I like to get outside and walk and hike and all that kind of good stuff and get out. And I love the outdoors. I love nature. I love chasing eagles and kingfishers and you name it. I like to go see it. Really like trumpeter swans and those, what are they called? The big birds. Sandhill cranes. Huge, huge monsters. Love all that. That's not the whole reason why I like to go out and spend time like that out in creation and by myself. I like to go to a place where I can cut out as much noise as I can, and quite honestly, sometimes as many people as I can, because I want to get out and I want to clear my mind and I want to give God an opportunity to talk to me, to speak. I want to give God my attention. Can God get our attention? The Lord's telling us we need to be about hearing the voice of God. We need to understand the voice of God, particularly this year right now. Can he get my attention? Can I slow down long enough for God to say, "Darren, can you slow down long enough? Does your schedule permit time for God to speak to you?" Think about that. I'm not trying to guilt anybody. I'm just trying to get us to think about our lives. You know, this was a phenomenal, is the word, I think is probably appropriate word, presence of God in this worship service tonight. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. But folks, when you go home, we got 2 days till Sunday, and then after that, we got 3 days till the next Thursday. So you got 5 days a week you're not here for about the 3 or 4 hours that we are here a week. God wants to talk to you. And very often God is talking to you, but can we hear him? Do we make time to hear him? And again, I'm not trying to guilt anybody. I'm trying to get us to understand what the Spirit is saying to us. Folks, this is no coincidence. This is not something that just dropped in my heart. And I was doing an everyday ordinary task at home and just going about my business, and boom, God dropped this in my heart. And I thought, man, that's really good. I really feel like I need to bring that to the church. And then my son comes along and boom, God's like, oh, I'm sitting down in the basement with Ethan. I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this, Lord. Listen, listen. And like, well, it's not like the Lord's, you know, off somewhere else. He's the one talking and saying it, but you know what I mean. I'm just talking to the Lord. God, I can't believe this, you know. And then a week later, within a week, he sends me this post by Brother Raymond Duncan. You better learn the voice of God this year. Church, I'm telling you, and I hope I can convey it, there is an urgency in the Spirit that we need. If we can't understand the voice of God, we need to understand the voice of God. If we're not making time to hear the voice of God, we need to make time to hear the voice of God now. Now. And as I haven't figured it all out. That's just the admonition of the Lord. The Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. I think it's a pretty good establishment of the word of the Lord that's been given to me, folks. I'm telling you what, we need to hear the voice of God. I don't understand why, but if I had to dive into scripture and figure it out, you know, Jesus said in the last days, there's going to be a lot of false prophets. There's going to be a lot of false teachers. Yeah, they've been around a while. But folks, we're entering into a time like none other in our nation. Although things may not have worked out the way we liked them, guess what? We're still part of the church. Amen? Jesus is still Lord. He's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nobody can take that from me. So we're going to be all right one way or the other. But we have to hear the word of the Lord. You know, in the scripture, Balaam had his donkey. Nabal had Abigail. Naaman had his servant, and Saul had Samuel. These all had one thing in common. For a period of time, they would not listen to reason and to the word of the Lord. It was the mercy of God that he opened the mouth of the donkey to speak, and Balaam heard the word of the Lord. That donkey liked to beat him to death because Balaam was going on and he was going to go curse the people that Balak had asked him to curse. And God said, if I tell you to go, go. Balaam got up and went anyway. And the Lord sent an angel in front of him with a flaming sword, and he couldn't see it. And he didn't know what was going on. The donkey saw it. Folks, the donkey had more sense than Balaam. He could see what God was doing. Balaam couldn't. Finally, God opened the mouth of the donkey and he spoke to him. He brought an intercessor into his life and turn things around for him. Nabal never did listen to reason. David asked for a little kindness. Nabal said, who's David? Who's the son of Jesse? Who's Jesse? Who's David? No big deal to me. David got pretty upset about it. He was going to go take care of business and get what he wanted. And if it weren't for the wisdom of his wife Abigail, he would have met sure destruction. Scripture says in 1 Samuel chapter, you don't have this, and that's fine, but 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 3, that Nabal was a churlish man. What does that mean? It means he was hard. He was difficult. He was severe. He was fierce, intense, vehement, angry, stubborn, stiff-necked, rigorous of battle. In other words, he was always right and looking for a fight. And he just couldn't be talked to. Naaman was about to walk away from the miracle of his life and complete healing if it were not for his servant who said, you know what? If the man of God would ask you to have done some great thing and be healed, wouldn't you have done it? See, Naaman was on the verge of self-destruction. He was dying, folks. I mean, he had a disease. He had leprosy. Things were, if they weren't already falling off, they were going to start falling off. That's what leprosy does to you. And he had the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord had spoken to him. The voice of the Lord had came to the prophet's servant. He said, go tell the man of God, blah, 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 and this, that, and the other, or go tell Naaman. And it didn't come the way he wanted. And it wasn't the situation that he desired. Are there not better rivers than, you know, where I came from, Samaria? And that's when the servant wisely stepped in and said, something great, wouldn't you do it? And he began to listen to reason. And the word of the Lord began to penetrate his heart. And he understood. Maybe he didn't understand why he had to do it that way, but he understood, if I do this, this good thing's going to happen. And he obeyed the word of the Lord. Saul, well, we know the ending of Saul. He outgrew hearing the word of the Lord, and that's unfortunate for him. And there, consequently, outgrowing hearing the word of the Lord, he outgrew obedience to God and hid his rebellion under the guise of worship. He refused to listen and understand what God was saying to him with the intention of obeying. And unfortunately, he became a poster child for the disobedient. See, once to the point that he proved he would not listen to the Lord had to move on. Until that point, he was happy, looking the part, and continuing on his disobedience, no matter how God tried to get him to repent. And the frightening thing about it is, what was worse in Saul's case, the absence of the Lord's presence didn't seem to bother him at all. He was okay with it. And that is where being churlish, like Nabal, stiff-necked, stubborn, not listening to what the Lord's trying to say to us, can get us, is we're okay without that in our lives. And that's not a good place to be. But folks, there's nothing we can do in substitution for obedience to the revealed will of God in our lives. Nothing. If I'm not obeying what I know God has spoken to me about, whether it's through my wife or my boss or a coworker or my pastor or you name it, my Sunday school teacher, the revealed will of God, if I'm walking in disobedience, that there's nothing I can do to substitute for that disobedience. No amount of service, no amount of worship, no amount of devotion will ever make up for our lack of obedience to the revealed will of God. We cannot substitute anything for obedience. That's why the scripture says to perceive, to hear, to understand, and to obey what the Spirit is telling us. Cain tried it. It didn't work out too good for him. Saul tried it. Didn't work out too good for him. Naaman wanted to try it. Thank God he listened to reason and turned and did what God wanted him to do. So that's the beautiful thing about it is, if God's been talking to you about something, and I believe he has, God talks to us all. And maybe you haven't been doing, the beautiful thing about it is, you can repent. We can repent. I can repent. We can do what God has been talking to us to do. So the difference between Naaman and Cain and Saul is that Naaman gave heed to the word of the Lord. So we cannot walk in denial to the voice of God, wonder why things are not happening for us, and blame anyone or anything around us for the outcomes of our disobedience to the word of God. And sometimes, folks, that's just why things fall apart in our lives. It's because we're walking in disobedience. So we need to understand the voice of the Lord. We need to understand what he's saying to us, what he wants us to do. But it's amazing the lengths that God will go to get people to hear him. You know, like an old Verizon commercial, can you hear me now? Sometimes the Lord lets things in our life, circumstances or situations in our life, and then he comes along and says, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Do we want to hear him? Do we? I'm just asking. I think that's a good question. Do I want to hear him? Because he speaks to us, but it's so much nicer when we want to hear him. Even when we hear things we don't want to hear. I have to laugh. If we listen to the voice of God, we will hear things about ourselves that shock us, because none of us are 100% aware of who we are or what we are all the time. Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things, and who can know it? So there are times, our scripture from Revelation 2:29 tonight, Revelation of Jesus Christ, well, there will be times, there'll be the revelation of brother or sister so-and-so, and the revelation comes to you and me, and we're like, holy cow, you got to be kidding me. God's, no, I'm not kidding you. been talking to you about that for a long time, but you're just now starting to listen to the point. It's sinking through. It's sinking through. And you know, sometimes in all honesty, sometimes we just don't get it. We really don't. Sometimes we might ignore the voice of God, which is not a good place to be. You know, sometimes we might be talking to God and God brings it. You ever been talking to someone, they bring up a subject you just really don't want to talk about? I don't know, you know. Maybe something happened, you don't know, you had a flat tire on the way home and you come to church and someone says, how was your day? And I had a flat tire, and they just want to go on and on about it. You're like, you know, I'd rather not do that. You know, I was on I-80 in the middle of traffic and I had to change my tire. I just don't want to talk about that, right? You know, I'll talk about anything else but that, right? Sometimes we're that way with God. The voice of the Lord comes along, he's talking to us, and says, wait a minute. Lord, I'll talk about anything but that. It's not good. We have to be open and honest before the Lord. We have to hear what the Lord is saying to us. And Jesus said something very interesting in Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. He admonished us not just to hear, but to, he said, take heed, therefore, how ye hear. And I think this is a pretty phenomenal scripture. And if you would, just go ahead and please leave this up for a while. He said, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath, seemeth to have. And I notice that's a recurring theme in Scripture. You have, and you're working in the kingdom of God, you're producing, you're gonna receive more. If you're not doing anything with what God has given you, that which you have is gonna be taken away. And it quite frankly, it's a use it or lose it proposition. God intends for us to work out the salvation in our life. But he said, take heed, therefore, how you hear. Not just take heed that you hear, but take heed that how you hear. So to take heed means, it metaphorically, it is to see with the mind's eye. So in other words, not just hearing words that are being spoken, just like tonight. Not just Brother Pritz talking about hearing the word of the Lord, not just, I heard it. We got to hear the voice of God. That's good. And I'm not saying anybody's doing that. But sometimes we can just take the essence of the message and, okay, yeah, that was a great message. But Jesus is saying, take heed how you hear. Take heed in the mind's eye to have the power of understanding, to discern mentally, to observe, to perceive, to discover, to understand. So you see, again, it's not just hearing. It's, God, what are you trying to say here? To turn the thoughts or direct the mind to a thing, to consider, to contemplate. How long has it been? It could have been the last 3 hours for you. I don't know. Could have been the last 3 weeks, 3 months, hopefully not. But how long has it been since we taken the word of God, or we taken what we feel God has spoken to us or is speaking to us about, and we just sit and we meditate on it and we contemplate on it. Lord, what are you trying to say here? Man, that takes a lot of time, Brother Pritt. Well, you know, I'm beginning to see that. Time is of the essence. You know, redeeming the time, Scripture says, because the days are evil. The Lord is speaking to us in this hour. We need to hear his voice. Not just, okay, God is speaking, but God's speaking. I need to pay attention. I need to understand. And I need to add the third element of obedience to it. So in other words, to hear with the intent of obeying. Is that my approach to listening to sermons? I'm asking myself that question. Maybe you could ask yourself that question. When I come in here on Sunday afternoon, pastor gets up, teaches Sunday school, Mark's going to preach on the afternoon service. Am I here because that's where I should be? Which is not a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with just plain old good old obedience, okay? But motive has a lot to do with what we do in the eyes of God. The motive of the heart. So I'm sitting back there in the usual spot. Fits me just right because we sat there so long. Pastor gets up to teach, and he's teaching the word of the Lord. Is it just another Sunday school lesson to me? Or do I consider, which is one of those definitions, that he's breaking open the bread of life? I'm like, God, what are you going to say to me today? Just curious, just questions. Just questions. Do I weigh carefully and examine what's said? Now, sometimes if you brethren up here preaching, you see back here flipping through my phone. I've got a wonderful Bible app. Sometimes you guys will say something. I'm thinking, not you guys, brethren, I'm sorry. You brethren will say something, and I'm like, man, I wonder what that means in the original language. In three pops, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what that means. And I'm applying it to what you're saying in the Word of the Lord. Not all the time, but every once in a while. Why? And I'm not saying I'm the poster child for paying attention in church, but, you know, I really do like to understand. I try to understand what's being said to me. Because I truly believe that you know, we're going to give an account for the things that we hear. We're going to give an account for the messages we hear, what we did with them. I mean, did I apply them to my life? So the Lord, I believe, has come to us today and admonished us that we need to hear the word of the Lord. We need to pay attention. Because as we launch off into the use of the gifts of the Spirit, we need to understand it's not a mystical thing that overtakes me that all of a sudden I feel I need to go do something in the Spirit for God. God communicates with his people. God talks to his children. He is the good shepherd. He is one who goes out before us and leads us with his voice. So if I can't hear his voice, how am I going to be led by his Spirit? And the Bible says that who are the sons of God? In Romans chapter 8, those who are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. So hearing his voice is critical. So as we stand in the house of the Lord tonight,